any more prayer requests? Did you raise your hand? You did pick in your nose? Okay. 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 Can we have a couple people help with the communion? Paul told us to discern the body of Christ, and he showed us how to discern the body of Christ. You know, sometimes I'll take a whole piece of this bread. It's called matzah bread, and it's in a square. And to discern the body of Christ, we need to look at this bread. And God had a certain way he wanted this bread made. And it was for a particular purpose. You know, God doesn't do anything by accident. Everything he does is by design and for reason. In the Old Testament, we have types and shadows of Jesus, and once you get a solid understanding of the grace of God in the New Testament, then you can go back into the Old Testament and find these types and shadows of Jesus. He's all over in the Old Testament. He's all over in there. We find him in this matzah bread. This bread, God told to make without yeast. Yeast is significant as sin in the Bible. Jesus was certainly without sin. He never once sinned, ever. His blood was pure. That's why he could take our place to set us free. Also, this bread, if you'll notice, it's been beaten flat. Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. And this bread has stripes in it. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Jesus was certainly pierced on that cross when that Roman soldier thrust his spear into his side, but he was pierced in his scalp. He was pierced in his hands and in his feet. And everywhere that Jesus' blood, everywhere he shed his blood, he got redemption for us in some area. Now, you'll notice this bread is slightly burned. It means that he took the full wrath of God's fiery judgment on himself when he was on that cross. When he took all of our sins, he took all of our judgment. It's important to understand this. Jesus took the judgment that we deserved so that we could take the blessing that he deserved. And his body was broken for us. We're taking this for our healing, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. The sacrifice of Jesus was one of the bloodiest sacrifices that had ever been, ever. The Roman soldier that was standing at the foot of the cross looked up, and he couldn't even tell that he was even a human anymore. And he had seen a lot of sacrifices, but he said, "Surely this is the Son of God." Jesus shed his blood, and not only did it wash away our sins, it completely remitted them. But 1 John 1:7 says that this blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. And now because this blood has been applied to us, when we got born again, we got made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now we can boldly enter into the throne room of grace, and we can receive grace and mercy in a time of need. Amen? So we thank you for this. It's important to know what you're doing and why you're doing it, and release your faith in it while you're doing it, to make sure that it never becomes just a religious ritual or some kind of a tradition that you do. You can take communion as often as you will. Jesus said that. You can do it once a month. You can do it once a week. You can do it 3 times a day if you wanted to. But when you do it, don't do it out of habit. Release your faith in it and get the benefits out of it. Amen? All right. Open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. We'll continue our study on faith. We're going to look at a peculiar thing here. Mark chapter 9. We'll start at verse 14. Now remember, Jesus had sent his disciples out to go all over the place out there, witness, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover, and just go about spreading the kingdom news. They get back. When he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question you with them?" One of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, that has a dumb spirit. Whatever he taketh him, he tears him, and he foameth and gnashes with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answered them and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." He brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. He fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. Oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Now there's a lot of things in here. One of the things you're going to notice is he sent his disciples out into all the world to operate in the kingdom of God and do these different things and spread the kingdom. And the scribes showed up. Remember, they had a multitude of people questioning the disciples. You're always going to have that. You know, the religious mafia hasn't went away. They're still here. There's always going to be somebody that's going to be trying to get in the way of you doing something in faith. You know, they'll say, "Well, you can't go out there and be baptizing people. You can't be going out there witnessing to people and getting people born again. You can witness to people anywhere you are." Amen? Don't ever cow down to anybody when it comes to witnessing to God. Amen? You witness to people wherever you are. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, all the world, every once in a while you may get asked to say something in another church somewhere. That's your chance to do an altar call. Amen? And you do it. Don't pass up an opportunity to get somebody born again. You go ahead and stand in faith and do what you got to do. But here's the thing. The father of this child brought his kid to the disciples to get him prayed for, to get him set free, and they couldn't do it. The boy was in a terrible mess. You know, he asked, Jesus asked him, said, how long ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. All the time it cast him into the fire. That's bad. And into the waters. You know, you could drown. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. This is the thing right here. If you can believe in the compassion of God as much as you do the power of God, great things happen. You know, every time God has compassion on somebody, something changes. You know, you'll find out that the love of God is a demonstration of the power of God, and that the power of God is a demonstration of the love of God. Remember in Psalm 23, we said, the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not lack. And it's important to know who it is you're dealing with. You know, it's not enough to just know about God, but it's something you have to know Him. There's a lot of schizophrenic Christians running around in this world. They're born again, but they believe that one day God is blessing them and the next day God is somehow cursing them. They believe that one day God gives them something and the next day God might take something away from them. I hear it all the time. God took my baby because He needed another angel in heaven. That's crazy. That comes from false teaching. They don't know the love of God. They're just hoping something good is going to happen. We have to absolutely know who it is that we're dealing with if we're going to be operating in faith. See, you have to absolutely know who Jesus is personally if you're going to operate in His kingdom. Now remember, this is what we're looking at here in verse 23. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. That pretty much takes the limitations away, doesn't it? All things are possible to him that believeth. Have you ever just thought, have you just stopped and daydreamed a little bit and thought about what God could do through you if you just gave yourself up to him and just let him operate through you the way he desired to? Her thought about these things that we read in the Bible. One day Jesus was walking down the trail and this leper jumped out from under a rock. You know, he was risking his life. He was not supposed to be in contact with people. And this leper said, I know you can heal me if you will. You know, lepers were castaways. And they couldn't live with their families and they couldn't live in their communities. They had their own set away places where they could live amongst other lepers. You know, when you get cut away from your family and your friends and everything that's familiar to you, at some point you start feeling dehumanized. You know, when the regular public doesn't want anything to do with you and you're not allowed to be around them, you start feeling dehumanized. And people start feeling rejected and they start feeling unloved and they start feeling unwanted. And this is where, as believers, it's absolutely important for us to operate in compassion. Let the love of God flow through you into somebody else that nobody else wants anything to do with. You know, the people that everybody walks around, they don't want them walking down their street. They don't want them showing up at their special parties. They don't want them showing up where they're at. They smell bad. They drink too much. They do all these crazy things. They don't want them around. You know that God loves them? That Jesus died on the cross for them. And then it's going to be the compassion of God, the goodness of God that will turn their thing around, turn their life around. Some of the, what the world calls unlovable people are some of the most powerful tools that God has changed through His love. You know, some of these people, you just didn't want to be around. But the love of God changed them in such a way that they affected sometimes hundreds of thousands of people in a positive way. He's changed drug dealers. He's changed prostitutes. He's changed alcoholics. He's changed murderers. He's changed rapists. He's changed terrorists. He's changed their heart from the inside out, where they could express love in such a way that people could understand it and turn to God. People don't like to hear about that, but here's the thing. Paul was a terrorist. The Apostle Paul, for all intents and purposes, he was a terrorist. What would you call a terrorist today? His job was persecuting Christians. That was his job. But one day he was riding his donkey down the road to Damascus, and he had a head-on collision with Jesus, and he repented right there, and he was never the same man again. He was Saul, but he got his name changed to Paul. That's how drastically God changes people. But here's the thing now. He uses other people to help that change come along. We do that with the Word of God, sharing it with the Word of God out of a heart of love to help people. Amen. Knowing that we don't make the change, we just sow the seed. Amen. It's really cool when God does that through you. It's really exciting. You should take part in that. Have compassion. Faith in the compassion as well as the power of God should be the true approach to Him. For when God has compassion, action will be taken to meet human needs. You know, it's important for us to believe in the compassion of God for ourselves, but it's also important for us to believe in the compassion of God for other people. You know, there's people that find it very, very hard to love themselves. Sometimes, you know, they may love other people, but they have a very hard time loving themselves. Because they have a very hard time believing that God could actually forgive them for what they've done. You know, a lot of times people can almost get over the hump and get the freedom, and then they'll back off, and it's usually just this one or two things that they don't think God could possibly forgive them of. And this is what we need to impress upon people and ourselves, that there was never anything stand up to the blood of Jesus. If there was ever one sin that God could not take care of with the blood of Jesus, then he would have to bow his knee to the devil. And that is not going to happen. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that has ever been released on this earth. And it was released for all that would call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Because the Bible tells us that all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. That means absolutely everybody that says, Jesus, save me, qualifies. We don't need to pre-qualify people. They've already been pre-qualified. Now here's the thing. I grew up fishing. Where I grew up, there was a lot of fishing holes all over the place. There's creeks, streams, rivers, lakes, ponds. I think there was something like 100 fishing holes within 70 miles, 75 miles of where I grew up. There was water everywhere. There was fish everywhere. And I caught a lot of fish. I was addicted to fishing. I had fish on my brain. It was bad. I fished all the time. I caught a lot of fish. But I never, ever once caught a clean fish. Ever. I never caught one single fish that I could take right from the pond, put it in the skillet, and eat it. And I've never found anybody in this world that didn't need cleaned on when they got born again. I never found any clean person anywhere in my life. So stop trying to find clean people to bring to church. I know this drives some religious people crazy, but I've dealt with literally hundreds of alcoholics, hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of alcoholics. I've invited them to church. And they'd take a deep breath, and I'd say, well, I'll tell you what, I can see this put some pressure on you, but what I want you to do is have one or two toddies before you go to church. They look at me like, are you crazy? You telling me to have a drink before I go to church? I said, maybe two. Why? Because you need to be calm when you get there. See, it's not me that's going to make you well. It's God that's going to make you well, and he's going to do it through his word. You have to live long enough to get that word in you. Amen? God didn't call righteous people to church. It's easy to have compassion on the righteous. Go bring them. Go have compassion on the woman with five kids from five different fathers. Bring her to church. Go have compassion on the drunk that has went through three wives and now he's a wife beater again on his fourth. Bring him to church. I don't condone none of that stuff, but they need the love of God, and that's the only thing that's going to change their situation around. See, we have to have compassion on the people that the community doesn't like. Because the community's not going to have compassion on them. We have to. Amen? God is the only one that can change things around for him. You know, verse 23 told us that if you can believe, saying once and for all, regardless of what it is or who it is, that prayer will be answered providing there is unwavering faith. Has all things. You know, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be anybody special. You just need to be a believer to get prayers answered. All things will be given that are promised and provided by God in the gospel. All things are promised in the gospel that pertain unto the life of godliness. You know, you're going to run into all kinds of crazy ideas. All kinds of crazy religious ideas on why your prayer didn't get answered. But you have to understand this. You have to get this in your heart. When you ask according to His Word, in the name of Jesus, God hears your prayers. Amen? And He answers your prayers. The promises of God in Him are yes and amen. We have to have confidence in Him. He is a loving God. But you're going to hear things like, it may not be God's will. When somebody says that, they don't know God. They know about God, and they learn some doctrine somewhere, but they don't understand that this is His will for your life. You don't have to go on a journey somewhere to South Africa, pray on a high mountain. You don't have to do anything weird. You just have to pick this up and read it. This is His will for your life. So once you know what's in here, that religious idea can't take root in your heart. Once you know what God's will is, then you can pray the answer. Another one that you're going to run into, you may be under the chastening of God. Okay? How does God chasten His children? Does He do it by making them sick? Does He do it by injuring them somehow? Does He do it by causing them poverty? Does He do it by taking something from them? No, absolutely not. He chastens us with His Word. He'll correct us with His Word. Did you know that? See, it's a light thing now. It was really offensive when I first got born again. You know, the Word of God is offensive to the flesh. Because there were things that I had grown up thinking was all right, and I'd done it all my life. And then all of a sudden the Bible says, don't do that. And somebody, all things... So they said, the more you know the Word of God, the more you're going to be held accountable to it. And I heard that. And that was ringing loud in my ears. I didn't know nothing anyway. But I heard that, of all things. So then it got where I'd pick at the ball and read something in there that was offensive to my flesh. And I'd close that puppy up and said... We'll get back to that one. I went back there a couple of days later, picked up that Bible, opened up, read something in there. Put that puppy down. If I don't stop picking that thing up, I'm going to be toast. When Daddy said it, man, I already know enough. I should be frying like an egg right now. Then I finally thought, man, I don't want to know any more of this God stuff because I already got myself qualified for lightning bolts. You know, I got to stop. I said, I can't take none of this. It took the the gospel of grace getting into my heart to get me out of that. You want to know what happens the more you know about Jesus? The more truth you'll know. The Bible tells us that the truth will make you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I was so freaked out, I couldn't even go to church. I just couldn't deal with it. Finally, God got it into my heart to read the Bible, so I started reading the New Testament. Of all things, I started reading the New Testament. Imagine that. I read the New Testament, read it. I don't know how much time I spent in there, but man, it was fun. And finally, it got where it's familiar, and I started to know Jesus. I started having confidence in him. And he said, now go to church. Okay. But I had his truth in me. So I had that witness of the Holy Spirit in me to take me through several different situations till I could finally get into a church that would feed me and grow me up. Amen. God didn't get much when he found me. But when somebody told me that I didn't have to go to hell, if I got born again, my hand was up in the air. And actually, one of the first churches I went to, the pastor thought I was going to beat him up. And I just wanted to ask him a question. I didn't know what to do. And he preached and preached and preached and preached and preached. And I thought, what in the world is wrong with this guy? Is he ever going to shut up? And finally he ran out of air. And I followed him back to his office. And he said, I thought you'd just leave. But so you going to beat me up? And I said, no! I don't know what to do about this. He said, oh, okay. The reason he thought I was going to beat him up because my friend was there a while before that. He thought he was going to beat him up too. Golly dang. You know, another odd thing is people think that the power to heal is only for the apostles. You know, the apostles healed people by the power of the Holy Ghost. Did you know the Holy Ghost didn't go away? The name of Jesus hasn't gone away. Amen. They say signs and gifts and miracles ceased with the apostles. Well, there again, signs and miracles happened by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit didn't go away, and the apostles didn't cease. You know, there are still apostles in this world. Yeah. That's part of the fivefold ministry. You may be exalted if God would hear your prayer. God hears your prayers. Every answered prayer is a miracle. Did you know that? Because now we have access to God that they didn't have in the Old Testament. You know, they used to have to go through the high priest to have access to God. Now, we still go through the high priest. But our high priest is Jesus. Amen? And he makes our prayers perfect. It's just like you doing your homework when you're a little kid. And then you give it to your mom. And she makes it perfect. And then you take it to the teacher and get an A. You take your prayer, you lift it up to God, and Jesus takes that prayer and makes it perfect for you. Amen? That's why he's called our intercessor. Some people will try to tell you that healing is not in the atonement. That's why he got stripes on his back. By his stripes, we were healed. They'll try to tell you that healing is not for today. You know, One guy got so mad at me one day. He said, "You're going to get healed when you get to heaven." I said, "You ain't going to need healing when you get to heaven because you're going to be in a glorified body and you ain't going to need that healing. Any healing you're going to get, you're going to have to get it while you're down here because there's no sickness in heaven." Get it down here. But the coolest thing about all of it that we believe on is Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. For it is with the heart that man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation. We record these sermons every Sunday and Wednesday, and they go all over the internet. They're on Facebook, and they go all over the place. And sometimes there's people watching, because like me, they ain't going to church. They're not ready. They want to find out about God quietly, and that's okay, because it's between them and God. And then He can raise them up how He sees fit, and when they're ready to go to church, then they go to church. But it's making Jesus your Lord and Savior is the number one thing. Now, everybody to bow their head and close their eyes. We bow our heads out of reverence to God, and we close our eyes out of respect to our neighbor. It is a personal decision. It's between a man and God. A good way to get born again is just to ask Jesus to come into your heart. You can say that with this prayer. You can pray with me, say these words out of your mouth so that your ears can hear them. Lord Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that God raised You back to life. I ask You to come into my heart. Wash away my sin. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank You, Father, for forgiving me. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. This day, I confess the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. If you did that for the first time, the Bible tells us you are saved. You are born again. I encourage you to read the New Testament, listen to these CDs, contact somebody, find the Word of Faith, and keep growing. Get plugged into a church that will love you and grow you, feed you the Word of Faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have cake and fellowship, coffee back here, and everybody's welcome to come back and have some, or you can stand here and I do my Dr. Hook impression. Okay, I won't.